Okay, good morning. So I'll just start off with quite a funny story because I like to do that before I start preaching. So as it is with our life generally, we're like ships that pass in the night, and particularly this week has been a bit like that. So communication hasn't been on, you know, the best, should we say. So anyway, I managed to catch up with Tom to talk about what I was speaking about this morning, and and talking about the ministry time, and he was giving his sort of input into that, and that's what I would like to do at the end. And he said to me, "Oh, so who's leading the meeting tomorrow?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know at the moment. I'll need to check." So we went through everything that was going to happen. Needless to say, God was totally in control, because actually he was leading the meeting this morning, so he knew exactly what he was going to do, just not that he was going to do it. So I love God's sense of humour. So that's quite funny. So today I'm going to be got the privilege of talking to you about a miracle in John. And obviously over the last few months we've been going through the series of the seven signs in John. And as we've been learning about over the last few weeks, all these miracles have been carefully included in the book of John to teach us about the character of God and how each miracle reveals the glory of God. And John's gospel tells us the life of Jesus through a series of events, key miracles and teachings, in an attempt to convince readers that Jesus really was the Messiah, the Son of God, and the Savior of the world. And the reason behind doing this series on the seven signs, if you've not already clicked that, is to reveal the purpose of Jesus. So the fact he came to redeem and save mankind, to establish his kingdom on earth. And through the miracles recorded in John, we learn about how he seeked to do this through his miraculous provision. So we learn about the transformation of the water into wine and the multiplication of the loaves of bread, his miraculous deeds. So walking through the waters of the Sea of Galilee, and the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And then lastly, the miraculous healing. So we learn about the curing of the official's son and the young man given back his sight. So today I'm going to be continuing on the healing theme. And I'll be looking at the third sign in the series of the seven signs in John. And slightly out of chronological order, which is entirely my fault, I might add. But nevertheless, this is a healing miracle, another healing miracle that Jesus performed. And in John verses 5:1-15, we read about the cure of the paralytic at the pool. So, without further ado, I will read John 5:1-15. If you want to turn to that, please feel free. Otherwise, just listen to me. Okay. So afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda, I think that's how you say it, with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath, so the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." But he replied, "The man who healed me told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" "Who said such a thing as that?" they demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, Now you are well. So stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. So just overview to this miracle. This miracle is performed on a Jewish holy day. We don't know exactly what holy day it was, and because it doesn't mention that, it really doesn't matter in the context of this miracle. But it's important that it was on a Jewish holy day, because obviously that has consequences, massive ones. And we see a man who the Bible says, as a result of his own sin, has been sick for 38 years. And it's really important to note here that not all sickness is as a result of sin. You know, most sickness is a result of us living in a broken world, but it specifically says in this passage that the man's sickness was as a result of his sin, and it's kind of key to the story. And graciously, we see Jesus asking if the man wants to get well, and as the Holy Spirit operates and as a gentleman, he doesn't force himself on this person. He doesn't force his power on this person. He invites this. He invites the man to receive his power. And we can clearly see that this man is hungry for healing. Through being put in the pool, the water of the pool, he believes it's got healing powers. And in some manuscripts, in verse 4 of John 5, is included. It's omitted in many versions, such as my NIV version. It doesn't have the verse 4, as you might have spotted. But in verse 4, in some manuscripts, it says, "From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir the waters, the first one into the pool after each. Such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had." On hearing the man's sorry story, Jesus simply commands the man to stand up and walk. Amazingly, despite the man not even knowing who Jesus was, he obeys him instantly and is immediately healed. This is key because it shows that his healing wasn't dependent on his faith or any level of faith. He had no faith. He didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't do anything to receive that gift of grace. It was entirely a gift from God. After the miracle takes place, we see the religious leaders getting their knickers in a twist about this, because the man is carrying a mat on a holy day. Heaven forbid. They completely overlook this incredible miracle that's just taken place. The fact this man has been healed of his ailment for 38 years and focus on the one rule that has been broken. Rather than join in with him in joy about being healed, which is fantastic, they are just completely telling him off. Or at least questioning why this has happened and who had done it. At the end of the story, sadly, we see this man turning his back entirely on Jesus, despite this amazing miracle that Jesus has done and the fact he's been cured of this sickness that he's had for so many years. He turns his back on Jesus and ultimately turns his back on the gift of eternal life, which is what Jesus is ultimately offering him. And at the end of the story, we see that he basically dobs him in. He dobs Jesus in into the religious leaders, who to the person who made him well, he gives him up to the religious leaders, making Jesus the object of these religious leaders' wrath. So that's basically a summary of what happens in that miracle. In that story. And I just wanted to kind of unpick really what does this story reveal to us about the glory of God? And firstly, oh yeah, that's helpful, comes up now. Okay, so the first thing, this miracle reveals the compassionate nature of God. So Jesus asks, "Do you want to get well?" Simple question. But he's aware that this person may not want to get well. When people have been sick for a prolonged period of time, it can become their identity. The sickness is their identity, and healing can challenge their whole entire way of living, including how they support themselves financially. So actually, this is a big, big deal. It's a lot to lose for a lot of people. So knowing this, Jesus asks the question. And as I said before, he always waits to be invited in. He never forces himself on anyone. He's just such a gentleman. And this is reflected in Revelation 3:20, where it says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together with friends." Jesus never forces us to follow him. He leaves it entirely to our free will. As we see in this passage, he waits for the invitation. And ultimately, this man chooses to walk away from Jesus and eternal life, despite this miraculous healing. The
Paul is called Bethsaida. I think that's right saying. And in Hebrew, the meaning of Bethsaida is the house of mercy or pity. And Jesus demonstrates this in spades, as despite the man's sin, which made him well after 38 years, he refuses to turn away from his sin, which has made him unwell. And as Jesus knows the beginning from the end, Jesus would have known the outcome of this, and Jesus decides to heal him anyway. Secondly, the miracle shows Jesus' absolute authority over sickness. He tells the man, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. 38 years of sickness ends in a moment, without man having to do a thing. He does not even have a mustard seed of faith. Often we get caught up in thinking that we need a certain level of faith to receive healing, but actually he didn't do a thing. He didn't even know who Jesus was. This miracle was entirely a gift of grace, which he had done nothing to earn. The man had a plan for his own healing, sitting by the pool for 38 years, which frankly wasn't working out too well. God had his own plan to heal the man, which would demonstrate the glory of God. And it continues the theme in the Gospel of John of water offering the newness of life, which is talked about in the preceding chapter with the woman at the well at Samaria. In that instance, Jesus talks about, offers her the living water springing up to eternal life, a symbol of the revelation of what Jesus brings. But in this particular miracle, it's Jesus' life-giving words that bring healing. Stand up, pick up your mat and walk, rather than the water of the pool, which has failed to bring life. It also tells us that Jesus was not afraid to smash these religious rules that were in place by performing healing on the Sabbath. He was not afraid of the wrath of the religious leaders either. And it tells us that God is not bound by our man-made rules. For Jesus, it was much more important that this man was healed of his sickness than to obey any societal rules that were put in place at that time. And it made me reflect on this quite a lot. And, you know, how often do we miss out on God's blessings because of our own man-made rules? This miracle was done at great cost to Jesus, as this was the beginning of the Jewish leaders' dislike for him and ultimately their persecution of him, which, as we know, results in his death. And it's an incredible miracle because it demonstrates Jesus' amazing self-sacrificial love. It also shows that Jesus is willing to heal the ungrateful, which I struggle with. Did about you? But his love is absolutely unconditional. We see in this miracle that the man didn't even know who Jesus was. He turned him away. He turned away his offer of eternal life and salvation. And he even went to tell the religious leaders who Jesus was, giving him up to them. And God knows beginning from the end. He knew what the outcome would be. And yet, out of love, he decides to heal anyway. This is such an incredible act of grace. And how often do we get our own backs up when we do something for someone and then they don't demonstrate gratefulness? This was demonstrated to me when we were in Northern Ireland last week. Just a very silly, simple example, but we walked past a homeless person. There was quite a few homeless people. And we saw these young girls graciously give up their lunch to this homeless person. It was homemade lunch, but they graciously gave it up to this homeless person. And we walked on by and thought, oh, that's a lovely thing to do. And then I just looked back and this homeless person had gone and put the lunch in the bin. And I thought, oh, but yeah. And the look on these girls' faces when they'd given up their lunch was just, they were really pleased with what they had done and thought it would really bless this person. But ultimately, she decided to throw it away. How often in life do we come up against that kind of situation? But who can blame her? It might have been laced with something. Yeah, indeed. Maybe she didn't fancy it. So the question Jesus asked, do you want to get well, is such a loaded one. Jesus not only wants to heal the man physically, but he also wants to heal him spiritually. The man receives the question as purely about his physical being, but Jesus was asking it, and he was asking a much deeper searching question. Jesus returns at the end of this passage to the man to continue this conversation, to implore the man to turn away from his sin, which has continued to make him unwell for such a long time. However, despite the man being healed, he ultimately rejects it. He doesn't want to receive eternal life. And it also, this miracle also tells us that actually if we receive a physical healing does not necessarily end in spiritual healing, even when the Son of God is involved. I've missed a little point out on my slideshow, sorry. But my last part of this was just making the point that Jesus is always in pursuit of us. We are all beloved children of God, whether we choose to accept him as our Heavenly Father or not. And as a result of being beloved children, our Father God is always after us to reconcile us to himself. Likewise, Jesus doesn't give up on this man. He is always in pursuit of those in love, in pursuit in love of those who turn his back on him. After the miracle was performed, the text says that Jesus disappeared into the crowd. However, despite the risk of running into the religious leaders, he returns and he challenges the man. He puts himself in a place of danger, potentially, by returning and offering the man salvation. Jesus pursues him right to the end. So having looked at these various points about how this miracle demonstrates the glory of God, what does this all mean for us? And I just wanted to kind of look at a few things in this sense. So we see that Jesus is compassionate and considerate. And the question, do you want to get well, is such a loaded question. But first and foremost, it demonstrates his compassionate and considerate nature. He is asking the man first if he desires to get healed. He doesn't force himself on him, knowing that the physical healing was what the man wanted. And that just made me reflect, likewise, are we sensitive to other people? And I suppose I look at this from an evangelist point of view. Are we sensitive to people when we talk to them? Do we understand their situation? Do we really listen to them? Or are we too busy seeing them as projects and that they need to receive God? You know, do we take the time? Are we sensitive? Are we considerate and compassionate? Our calling is first and foremost to show the love of God to people and wait for them to invite more. And it's such a true reflection of God's character. This miracle reminds us that we have hope. You might be grappling with a long-term sickness that you've yet to see healed, and you might be in a place of feeling pretty hopeless, but this, if anything, just shows us that we all have hope. No matter the passage of time that has gone, 38 years is a long time, but yet he heals him in an instant, and it's nothing that this man has done to receive this amazing gift. And this is also a bit of a challenge to us all, I think. It just really challenges us in terms of, are we really willing to go against the flow so that others can receive God's blessings? As we've learned in this miracle, Jesus really wasn't afraid to break the Sabbath rules, not at all. Proactively broke the Sabbath rules. And how often do we miss out on God's blessings because we are, whether consciously or subconsciously, within our own kind of set of rules? And often this can be such a subconscious thing, I think. And we so often squash what the Holy Spirit is doing because of our own religiosity. And I think this is why when revival comes along, it is so deeply challenging to the established church, because the Holy Spirit refuses to operate within its rule book. And I was just thinking a little bit about the Welsh revival, the 1904 Welsh revival that some of you may have heard about. I was lucky enough to be in Cardiff in 2004, which was 100 years after this amazing revival broke out, where hundreds and thousands of people turned their light, turned to Jesus. And, the Holy Spirit refused to operate within the church's rule books. That was just, it turned everything upside down. And there was a 25-year-old man called Evan Roberts who was used powerfully by God in this revival. It started with a youth meeting. I think there was a group of 16-year-olds together in his home village in South Wales. And I'm just going to read a little bit of text from this time and just to show what happened. So it says, revival broke out and services lasted virtually through the night. Miners coming off their shifts would join the queues for the chapels. As soon as one was filled, they'd tramp off to find the next one. Lights would be burning through the night as tens of thousands throughout the principality were convicted of sin by the presence of God and the preaching of the gospel. It is estimated that as many as 100,000 were swept into the kingdom over a period of 4 months, as people couldn't get enough of being in God's presence. I don't know about you, but that absolutely sends shivers up my spine. It's absolutely phenomenal. And do we not want that here now in Scotland, in Perth? Revival, come on. But we need to be able to break out of our man-made rules. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to do its work. And also when it might mean huge sacrifices on our part as well. As we see in this passage, they came throughout the night, every day. What would that mean for our life? What would that mean for what we'd have to do? It's exciting, but challenging. And I just think this miracle shows that just challenges us in our own dealings with people. Do we continue to show the compassion of Christ even when it's not appreciated? Hugely challenging for me. The man walked away despite what Jesus had done for him. He walked away. He turned his back on Jesus. Jesus would have known this would have been the outcome of what he'd done or what he sought to do, and yet he healed him anyway. Do we exhibit the same attitude when we reach out to others? Do we show compassion? Do we continue to show compassion even when we are rejected and unappreciated? To keep on showing compassion despite rejection is such an incredible show of character, and one that, I think we all strive to be better at. Certainly I do. And it's one that truly, truly shows or reflects God's own character. So to sum up, John 5:1-15, I think it tells us that we have hope. Despite 38 years of sickness, this guy was healed in an instant, and it was nothing that he had done to earn it. Nothing. Secondly, Jesus is always in pursuit of us. He is full of love and compassion towards us and grace. We are his beloved children, and he wishes to be in relationship with us over and above everything. He wants to make our lives better. He wants us to achieve true freedom from the things that bind us and keep us trapped in sin. And I think also we just shouldn't be afraid to go against the flow. We should be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us. And I guess I just wanted us to think about the things that hold us back, the barriers that hold us back, the religiosity that might be there that hold us back from really allowing that to happen, the rules that are in our head, whether subconsciously or consciously. What are they? Do you know what they are? Maybe you don't have any. Just challenge you to think about that. And I guess I just wanted to give everyone here an opportunity to receive the healing power of God. It's nothing that we do. It is an entire gift of grace. You might have no faith for it at all, and yet God can do it anyway. It's incredible. It's incredible. This passage reminds us that we can be healed in an instant regardless of our actions and whether we have faith for it or not. And I'd love to pray for you if this is the case and you would want healing. Amen.